Joining us now in our studios is Northfield City Administrator Ben Martick. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
The mayor may be in with us here and shortly. We'll see. But let's talk about last night's city council meeting. You had met for the first time in June. We're almost halfway through the year already.
Time moves along quickly, doesn't it?
Let's talk about the street construction and bonding for that. Our road construction season's underway now. You know, winter's over, now it's road construction. So about $4 billion in general obligation bonds for reconstruction this year.
That's right, Jeff. In fact, on my drive-in, they were doing my street out in front of me, starting to do some mill and overlay. And so they've been busy doing repairs on that related to the Northwest area. We also have, and so last night the city council did some authorized to move forward with plans for issuing bonds for the financing those projects, like you said, for over $4 million. In addition to that mill and overlay work, we're doing some work on Honey Locust Drive connection. We did actually have an agenda item related to that where we had some discussion that was ultimately approved. It was removed from the consent agenda to provide another trail connection to the East River, East Cannon River Trail. We're also doing the repairs on the bridge, Fifth Street Bridge project that's still ongoing and hopefully will be wrapped up here in June.
That's the most popular question that I'm being asked so far in the last couple of weeks is, when are they going to get that bridge done?
You should just say, where's Dave Bennett?
And Mayor Pownell is now with us,
yes,
by the way.
Squeaking in here by the skin of my chin. There you go.
But it will be done. The bridge is going to be done this month.
This week? As the mayor said, our public works director and city engineer is not giving an absolute, but he's saying hopefully a tentative end of June is scheduled for that repair. And I know he sent out a progress report on that project recently as well. So they are progressing along. But in addition to some of those improvements, we also are doing some equipment borrowing with this package of bonds as well, including a snowblower and the city's share of the fire department's truck that we're purchasing right now. And so the council authorized to move forward with issuing request for bonds. So that will be, the sale will happen on July 12th, and then we'll expect to bring it to the city council following that, and hoping that we can have our bond proceeds available as early as August 4th. So that was on the schedule last night and authorized by the city council.
All right. Let's move on to our next topic. The agreement between the city of Northfield and the school district concerning the community ed and rec services that they administer. Let's talk about that. It seems like a pretty standard thing. Do we have that pretty well down now after years of doing this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a solid agreement, and it's a good way to carry out the community ed recreation programming through the city and our school district. This is a partnership with the school district, and I think last night I learned that it's been in place for like 18 years or something like that, so a long time. And just really appreciate that you have at least one entity that's really looking at all of the different facilities within the city, whether it be on city property, school district property, or even some of our nonprofits that are functioning within the city, really utilizing all of our spaces to be able to serve the community. So I think I had asked some questions two questions were asked about just in terms of diversity and access to the services. And then I asked another question with regards to just recreational opportunities for our high school youth that maybe don't want to be involved in the competitive sports any longer, or they can't because the programs cannot accommodate the number of youth that really want to be participating in. So Aaron Bailey, who is our contact or the person through our school district, really talked about maybe expanding some of those intramural opportunities for kids. So it's a great partnership, and I'm just really grateful that they were able to be there last night.
All right. And for, if I understand this right, and hopefully I was reading that correctly in the packet last night, the overall budget for Ed and Rec is somewhere around $400,000. Is that, do I have that? With the city chipping in about $140,000, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, that sounds right. I don't have the total cost on that side, but when you mentioned the city's contribution, that's the right amount. Yeah, and we so we are partners with them on that. And again, the community education is much broader than just the recreation side of it. The city's partnership's directly related to that. So if you see the kind of the rec community education guide that goes out and things, it's the recreation-related program that really partners directly with them on, and it's part of a bigger programming that Erin and her department operates. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move on. We have talked about defacing sidewalks and public structures, and being more specific on that, sidewalk chalk is got. Did they get the green light on that last night? What can we do with sidewalks?
Well, we had one new option that was presented last night that was an alternative that we didn't discuss at the last meeting, and that would be to allow for sidewalk chalking throughout town with the exception of the historic district. So that was a third alternative that was presented to the city council. The first two was one, stay as is, which basically would mean that the sidewalks, you would not be allowed to have chalking on sidewalks throughout the city. So there would just be no action on that one if the council wanted to stay with that. The second one would be to open it up and allow the sidewalk chalking across town. So we had the first ordinance reading or review or option, I guess, to introduce that. We had a few different actions throughout that and had some different discussions with council, kind of balancing the, I think everybody's in support of the idea of, you know, having creative art with kids kind of art. The problem that we've talked about around this ordinance is under free expression laws, under our constitutional rights, First Amendment rights, the challenge is the city has to be consistent in how it enforces that across the community and also related to the content. So regardless of whether it's a nice piece of art or maybe a controversial issue, we have to really treat it the same. And that's where it gets tricky because free expression, you know, crosses a very wide breadth, and there's very narrow, if we were to allow it, there's very narrow abilities to restrict it. It might be things like threatening language to somebody, like harm, physical harm, and those kinds of things that the attorneys provided some input on. But we had a couple of actions of the city council. Mayor, mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to go through those sure. actions that kind of occurred and then ultimately what passed last evening.
Mm-hmm. So ultimately, and this was requested to be on our council agenda by Councillor Graybaugh and Councillor Peterson-White, really looking at updating the ordinance to 20th century standards, right, where it's no longer, I think the ordinance is from 1909 or something like that, updating the ordinance so it would explicitly make it legal for kids to do hopscotch and write, I think the turtle, right, came up last night. Yes, of course. I mean, everybody wants that.
We're not going right? to have all our children in
yeah,
jail.
Yeah, yeah. So, but really also would enable the groups like Say Their Names to be able to sidewalk chalk in our downtown Bridge Square area. So, and yes, so there was a motion on the table to do just keep as is, and Councillor Ness was the one that made that motion and withdrew it to give the opportunity for Councillor Graybaugh and Councillor Peterson-White to move forward the version of the ordinance that they were really hoping to get passed last night, which was that language that would allow sidewalk chalking throughout the city of Northfield, regardless of the historic district, regardless of, I think it's almost like messaging, I would even say, and I don't have the exact language right here in front of me, but it just makes it legal for people to do that. And I think that was the original language last night that, I shouldn't say original, I don't want to confuse people. So let me read it. I do have it here. All right, so it would say, note the version that was passed last night. States, no person shall write, print, stick, post, or place any bill, placard, or sign of any description upon the sidewalks or other public structure of the city. For the purpose of this section, the use of substances intended to mark concrete for less than 24 hours that can be completely and easily removed from sidewalks with non-pressurized water, including but not limited to sidewalk chalk, to temporarily letter, color, decorate, or mark any sidewalk, shall not be considered to deface such sidewalk. And so that would be in place citywide, and that's the verbiage of the language that was approved last night. I believe it was on a 4-3 vote last night. And I think for those that didn't vote in favor of it, I think the concern was more about that messaging that can be utilized that is more, it wouldn't be prohibited, but is maybe a little bit more controversial, may create an unwelcoming environment within our city parks or the downtown area, any place where it would be. And we're getting into a time period here where people are being more vocal about what they believe. And sometimes it's not necessarily the language chosen isn't necessarily welcoming to all. But it is a First Amendment right. And ultimately, the council last night went in that direction. And just hoping that people will use good judgment throughout our community here in ensuring that they're not placing stuff on our sidewalks that creates an unwelcoming environment, but also knowing and understanding that that's legal.
No, so there's basically no restrictions on that other than... I think what was the term was used was fighting words or some type of comments, some inflammatory comments. So are those still subject to a penalty by law?
They aren't specifically called out, so they'd be dealt with separately, with our mm-hmm. police department to kind of determine that. The baseline expectation, though, is like you said, anything goes. And so
if you don't like it, get an eraser.
We'll be looking for some clarifications like that example. Like if we do run across that where there's some kind of directed at an individual, some kind of threat or something, our attorneys will be working on drafting up some greater guidance on that. Maybe we can even have that for the council meeting to have some the follow-up second reading that would be scheduled to have his additional information in there. That would be a pretty limited, narrow focus where that would occur. So I think the mayor's well said, this is going to be more self-regulated because for the most part, it's going to be wide open related to that.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next next item on the regular agenda. And it's concerning conversion therapy for minors and vulnerable adults. The way it actually reads is review and discuss of ordinance prohibition of conversion therapy for minors and vulnerable adults. Mm-hmm. There you have it. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, if I could just read it again, because I think that's really important to get the words correct here. Mm-hmm. So conversion therapy or reparative therapy means any practice or treatment by a provider that seeks to change an individual's sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. And conversion therapy does not include mental health services that provide assistance to an individual undergoing gender transition or confirmation. It also does not include mental health services that facilitate an individual's acceptance, support, understanding, exploration, and development of gender identity or sexual orientation, and it does not include mental health services that prevent or address unlawful conduct or unsafe sexual practices if such mental health services do not seek to change or are not conducted with the goal of changing the person's sexual orientation or gender identity. So this is a conversion therapy ban as a follow-up to the governor's executive order that I believe that he put in place July 15th, last year. That executive order is not law, and the concern was that if legislative... if things were to change at the legislative level, at the state level, that executive order could be undone. And so there was encouragement at the local level for cities to place an actual law on the books that would prohibit conversion therapy or reparative therapy. And this has been in process, I think, for over a year. There are a certain list of cities within the state of Minnesota that have already passed bans like this. And so this was working its way through the process through our Human Rights Commission. And last night was presented for the first time for the council to consider, ask questions, because it's not something that's been on the council agenda previously, for us to consider, ask questions, make sure that we have solid understanding of what's being proposed, and City Attorney Hood was there last night to answer any questions that the council may have. This will be on the council's July 21st agenda for the first reading of this ordinance. So,
Has anybody been doing that? How would we know if somebody is practicing conversion therapy here in town? And how would we, is there going to be a penalty for doing that? Is this a licensing issue and to revoke their license? Or?
Yeah, these are not typically things that would be advertised. In fact, most of the professional associations, this has been a discredited practice, like in the medical world and from proven therapists and things. So you don't typically, I think, see that there's like advertising for this type of services to occur. So it's difficult to know that question about whether it exists or how much that might be happening for that. There's certainly been testimony of people experiencing this in the past. And, that's one of the issues with it, too, is that there's high rates of mental health, negative mental health impacts and suicide rates and issues kind of around this type of a practice. So that's difficult to know. We would take complaints. If we received a complaint, there'd basically be an investigative process. We'd be using our police department, treating it almost like a criminal type of complaint that we might receive in that case. It would follow through an administrative citation process, so like a fine. So if there's determined that, in consultation with the attorney's office, if we determine that it did exist, it would be subject to our fines. Under our current ordinance that was recently adopted, there's kind of a catch-all fine. So the first offense would be $25, it would go to $50 and then $100, but we're going to be revisiting that. Administrative fines under law can go up to a $1,000 fine, but we'll be looking at other cities and bringing that forward for additional things for the city council to look at. But that would be the penalty if there were such issues that were determined to be that the complaint were determined to be true. And then there's also due process rights too, where we have a administrative law judge process that would go through if people were to appeal.
All right. Once again, Mayor Pownell and City Administrator Martig are with us right now. Is there anything else outside of the meeting that you'd like to bring up while we have you in here?
I don't know. It's June. I'm just so glad it's June.
Boy, the last couple of weeks have been pretty crazy with holidays and graduations and celebrations and everything in between. So it's been a busy time.
Yeah, it has. I'm just really looking forward to our library Books and Stars programming that's happening in our parks. I believe Central Park and Way Park, and I think there's one scheduled at our Northfield Pool. I think the community band concerts maybe are still happening, or they're starting up again on Thursdays in downtown Northfield. So there's just a lot happening. Just encourage people to get out and enjoy the beautiful weather.
Yeah, enjoy a good town that you live in.
Yes, that's right.
Mayor, Mr. City Administrator, Mr. Martig, thank you so much for coming in today. We appreciate that, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Martig.